This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Thank God for the newscasts and the commercial breaks, because I finally had a chance to have lunch. The pizza, the panini, the salad, and the macaroni salad. All was a terrific, 900 degrees. So thank you very much again to Michelle and, of course, Priscilla, who owns 900 Degrees in Epping and originally here in Manchester from the last 8 years. Great eating. Our sponsors include Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company, and KC's Rib Shack, famous hickory-smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue, 837 2nd Street in Manchester, and online at ribshack.net. I'm Mike Moore, and Carol Lawrence, co-host of the show, is off for a couple of days enjoying this fine, warm New England weather. Chad Zingales, who is director of golf operations at Amherst Country Club and Panema Green in Amherst, our guest today, guest host, I should say. He'll be joining me a week from tomorrow as a repeat guest host. There'll be no arm wrestling the mayor for food that day, though.
I really screwed up on that.
What's the takeaway from eating the mayor's pizza?
It was a powerful, powerful experience. And I'm just praying the Lord that my car is still outside. He said there might be a boot on it. So,
but you know what? You'll turn it into something funny and do it on stage.
I'm going to try. I'm definitely going to try.
You know, I'm not going to give away any of your act, but as serious and a problem as road rage is, you found a very funny solution to it, and you know, that we'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to give any of your act away. I don't even know if you're going to do that story on next Friday. But anyway, you're doing a comedy set before Lenny Clark, who is appearing at Amherst Country Club. Did we do a couple comedy shows a year there?
Yeah, we do. We try to do 2 to 3 big comedy shows if we can, and we like to do them in the summer months because we have a nice outdoor riverside pavilion, which can seat anywhere from 150.
Is that where we're doing it outside?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so it'll be in our. It's a 2.5 seasoned building. You know, it's okay. Got doesn't have air conditioning or anything like that, but it's got these canvas sides that go up, nice breeze that goes through.
Right.
You can see the river right from it. It's beautiful.
So, well, I need to wear a poncho.
I'm gonna ease up on the Gallagher routine this time. I won't be smashing any pumpkins.
No watermelons or pumpkins. Chad is an up-and-coming comedian, and we'll be trying out some material for you to enjoy. Although if he wasn't good, let's be honest. If you weren't good, you wouldn't be on the card that night.
That's true. Yeah, I guess it's who you know, and you know what? If I'm not good, I don't even really care at this point. You know.
I actually wrote a piece in the Nashua Telegraph. My column next week is actually about you, and I will give away just one little paragraph of the column, and that is you have a number of people who are coming there. Hoping that you bomb.
That's right. Yeah, they are. And they've been very vocal about letting me know this. You know, because I think for all the grief and sarcasm that I deliver in my everyday job to the golfers who are there, some of them are looking at this as an opportunity to come and not support me, which is totally understandable. That's the fine line that I walk, you know, I'm ready.
Well, you're lucky that Mayor Gatsis will not be there because he'd be first in line.
You know, I'm going to talk to Mayor Gatsis about getting a boot that I can actually have, you know, because I have two young daughters. They're going to be growing up soon. Maybe that's a great way to, you know,
keep the boyfriends at bay.
Right. You know, breaking curfew or whatever. I'm just going to put a boot on their car or his car, whatever, you know.
Let's say hello to our weekly visitor, food blogger, formerly of New Hampshire, now in Kansas, Linda Thompson Ditch. Hello, Linda. Welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I just came in from a morning of surfing from the beach.
Oh, beautiful surfing out there, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it's in the freaking middle of the country.
I got to be honest, Linda. The geography has never been one of my strong points. I was just kind of guessing there, so I apologize.
The only surfing that goes on here is on a skateboard with a sail across the prairie, maybe.
Gotcha.
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, I tell you what. When I get home, I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Okay, yeah, it's the rectangle one, right? The right smack dab in the middle of the country.
Gotcha, okay.
And you're in, it's Topeka, correct?
Yes, Topeka, the capital. I went from one capital to another, moved from Concord to Topeka, so.
Well, so how much do you miss New Hampshire? Are we ever going to get you to move back?
Oh, I miss New Hampshire all the time, especially in the summer when it's so hot here. But, you know, I'm still a Patriots fan. I'm still a Red Sox fan. I mean, I grew up a Chiefs and a Royals fan, but, yeah, I'm a member of Red Sox Nation, even when they lose.
And they're doing plenty of that right now.
Yeah, and I'm a member of Patriots Nation, even when I have to defend Tom Brady to everybody I talk to.
Wow. Now, did you have a Super Bowl party? I mean, you love to cook and have friends. Did you do that at all in January, February?
I did. I had people over that day, and yeah, it was great. They were excited. You know, they were just watching the game to be watching the game, of course, but they were excited that I was excited, especially with that interception at the end of the game. I mean, I'm running around screaming and having a blast.
You know, we were just on with Mayor Gatsis, and he had mentioned that this time of the year he enjoys corn. That's his favorite vegetable. Do you have a favorite vegetable, one that you prefer? What is it in your kitchen right now that's popular?
Well, it depends on the day. But, right, you know, of course, this time of year, tomatoes, zucchini, summer squash, there's asparagus left. I like that. I like corn. Of course, you know, we have corn growing out the eyeballs around here. But, but yeah, actually, it depends on the day. I like just about anything, anytime. They're very, very good vegetables. I'm not a big fan of eggplant, and I'm not too big of a fan of some, you know, like butternut squash, unless it's in a cake or shaker squash rolls or something like that. But yeah, no, there's not too many vegetables that I don't like. Now, my late husband, on the other hand, there were very few vegetables he would eat. It was quite interesting trying to find something he would eat.
Well, as you've explained in the past, that you two had almost 180-degree food preference differences, which I think you were going to work that into a book or something at some point, correct?
Yeah, I just finished chapter 4, heading into chapter 5. So, yep. Yeah, that's where I called him the picky eater. And I called him the picky eater on my blog, still do. Yes, because he was picky. Let's see, the only vegetables, he would eat corn. He would eat green beans as long as they came from a can.
Oh,
wow. Oh, my kind of guy.
Yes. He would eat raw carrots and cooked carrots. He would eat raw tomatoes, you know, fresh tomatoes. He would even buy those mealy awful ones you get in the middle of wintertime from the grocery store. He would eat those, but he didn't like cooked tomatoes. He only wanted fresh tomatoes. And that was about it.
Wow.
He'd eat a salad as long as he could pour enough French dressing on top of it. He didn't really taste the salad. So,
Chad, are you a healthy eater?
I try to be, Mike. I try to be. This time of the year, it's a little bit easier with the fresh vegetables. But, you know, I got to be honest. I would rather have something fried, if possible.
Well, I mean, you work at a country club, which a lot of pub food is at your. I mean, I'm going to guess you probably get the employee discount when you eat there.
I do. Yeah, yes. And you can fry pretty much anything. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah. Linda, are you going to go to the Kansas State Fair this year and report on all the deep fried treats that you can get at fairs these days?
Yeah.
Oh, I should. I haven't had a chance to go. It's down in Hutchinson. It's about an hour and a half away from here. And I haven't had a chance to go yet, but I should give it a try this year and see what it's like. I know you can. You can deep fry. I mean, I've had deep fried pickles. I've had deep fried Snickers. I've had deep fried Oreos.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now you're talking my lingo, Linda. That's good. You know, I pulled up a map of the United States, and you're right. I was absolutely wrong. Kansas is dead center in this country, so I apologize for everybody. All you listeners out there who thought there was actually surfing in Kansas, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there may be. I mean, I think that there's a place in Kansas City. There's a place called Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun, and I think they have a wave pool where you can surf. But that's where you got to go to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you for trying to help me through that.
Well, it's called the flyover state, Kansas, because, you know, lots of planes fly over, lots of people drive through on I-70. But, but you miss out if you don't stop. I've enjoyed living here. I miss New England. If my family wasn't here, I would be living still in New England. I adored living there. But I've actually fallen in love with Topeka. I enjoy this city very much.
Let's talk a little bit about what you've been writing about lately. Last week it was a number of great cooling summertime adult beverages. And I checked in on your blog and Facebook page today, and I couldn't really tell if you had updated it yet or if you just added some more really yummy drinks that look the same as last time.
I updated it about an hour before you went on the air, so you probably missed it.
I missed it. Yeah.
Yeah, the new one on the blog talk about, see, it depends on your idea of what healthy means. If you mean healthy eating as far as you're eating stuff that's good for your body, that's one way. And then, of course, you know, healthy eating could also mean, you know, someone has a healthy appetite. They'll eat everything or anything. So this is a recipe for people with a healthy appetite because it's a cinnamon coffee cake.
Oh, cinnamon and coffee cake?
Mm. Yeah.
All right,
it's
notes,
made with
Chad.
Yogurt.
Yeah,
does that make it the other kind of healthy because it's made with yogurt and you don't ignore the butter and the sugar and all that? You know?
And I think yogurt is one of the great recipe substitutions for so many different things, and I think coffee cake is right up there on the top. So the yogurt is a substitute for what, butter or?
Sour cream,
which I, by the way, I hate sour cream. I know that makes me very un-American. So in that case, I really love this recipe. So share it with us.
Well, it's inspired by two things. One was I just finished reading a novel by Judith Firtick called The Cake Therapist. And in it, the main character, Neely, she can read people's feelings from the flavors that she gets in her mouth when she thinks about them. So, you know, it's kind of interesting technique. So, you know, and she's a pastry chef, so that comes in handy when she's helping people pick out their wedding cake flavors, because she can kind of sense what type of people they are and the feelings they have and what flavors would fit them, and she makes something that fits the person that they are. So, but in it, she talks about how cinnamon was the flavor of remembrance. And when you think about it, you know, think about cinnamon. Take a minute and think about what cinnamon smells like and what it brings to mind. I mean, doesn't it bring to mind warmth and home and comfort and, you know, all those lovely things that you just want to wrap yourself in, those feelings you want to wrap yourself in? And I know I put cinnamon in my coffee, and since my husband passed away last year, I've been drinking cinnamon coffee a lot and wondering, why do I feel compelled to do this? And now I think, well, maybe it's the feeling that cinnamon gives me when I smell it and I taste it. So after reading the book, and in the book there was a scene where they were eating a cinnamon sour cream coffee cake, I thought, I've got to try and make one. And so I created this recipe. I was inspired by the Barefoot Contessa Anna Garten sour cream coffee cake recipe because she did it in a tube pan, and I like the look, but the recipe's mine. I've tinkered, and it's got lots of cinnamon in it. You should have smelled my apartment while it was cooking. It was great.
So now, is the dough part of it, is it kind of a brioche flavor or texture?
No, it's more of a cake. It's more of a cake texture. It's a cinnamon cake, and it has a streusel nut filling in the middle, and then streusel nut on the top. So, and then I drizzle a vanilla glaze over the top of it. So,
wow, sounds amazing. Now, what's the preferred drink to have with this coffee cake? And also, what my follow up question is: what is socially acceptable? How much coffee cake can one eat without being kind of, you know, glutinous?
Well, as you can imagine, I mean, this made a ten inch round coffee cake, and yeah, I was handing it out to neighbors in my apartment building. You know, here, taste this, mainly to get it out of my apartment because, I think I ate the last piece yesterday, and yeah, I was eating from Sunday to yesterday. I've been eating the coffee cake, and it was very good. But I probably could take a break now. The preferred beverage, you know, I like coffee with it. I like tea with it. But my preferred beverage was an ice cold glass of milk.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Yep. This is good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, having that ice cold glass of milk and that piece of cinnamon coffee cake and the cinnamon smell, and it's moist and it's got a little bit of the cons in the middle with the cinnamon and. Yep. And, you know, it was good.
I'm online right now looking up flights to Kansas.
Hey, you make it out here, I'll make you one.
Leave your surfboard and your jams at home, will you? All right, so here's a little survey question for both you and Chad. I'll start with you, Linda. I have a sweet tooth. I love sugared foods. And as a kid growing up, we would always have dessert after every meal, and it would be right after you were done with the main course. And I still like to do that, but I've kind of weaned myself away because Barbara prefers to wait, if she has anything, at least an hour or more. But I am ready for it as soon as the fork drops from my last bite of steak. So, Linda, what camp do you fall into?
On a normal, say a normal everyday dinner, you know, like if I'm at a restaurant or something like that, I want the dessert right then. But if it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, one of those massive meals, yeah, I don't mind waiting for an hour or two later. So it's the one thing is it stretches out the holiday even longer. You know, you're still looking forward to, you know, oh, Thanksgiving meal's over. Oh, my gosh, I'm so full. Oh, man, it's all over. That's that. Oh, wait a minute. We haven't had dessert yet. It's not over.
And all right, let me ask you, Chad, what camp do you fall into?
You know, Mike, it's actually as I'm getting older in age, and I sometimes find that now I'm on my last bite of steak or chicken, whatever it is, and I'm actually feeling like that's the dessert so far. You know, like if I know I'm going to be having cookies, I take that last bite and it ends up being a chocolate piece of steak or something like that. It's kind of odd, actually, and it's uncomfortable because I'm not even there yet and I'm already imagining it. So I'm right after the meal type of guy.
Did you, Chad, did your parents growing up, did you have dessert typically after most meals right away?
We did, yeah. Right after. Sometimes during.
Oh, well.
You know? Have you ever pureed your dessert, Mike?
I have never pureed my dessert.
I mean, I recommend that? It. Yeah, take a bunch of cannolis, put them in a blender, and you can actually drink your dessert while you're eating your steak. It's delicious.
Well, you know, if I stop brushing my teeth today in about 10 years, I'll need to be doing that. So. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, Linda, it's almost time to go. Let us know where people can find your enlightening and fun and delicious recipes and commentary.
You can find me at There and Back Again Food, and that's www.thereandbackagainfood.com. And or you can find me on Facebook. Just you can either search my name, Linda Thompson Ditch, or you can go to my blog's Facebook page, There and Back Again Food. Either way, you can find me on Facebook, or you can go right to the blog. So,
keyword surfs up.
Really?
Hang 10, Linda.
No. Keyword, let's see.
All right. We will talk to you next week. My co-host will be Chef Patrick Hall next Thursday when we get in touch with you in Topeka, Kansas. Did you ever hear that song by Loretta Lynn here in Topeka?
Oh, yes, I know that song. But okay. Have you ever seen the cartoon, It's Hot in Topeka?
No, I've not seen that.
Okay, you got a YouTube. It's Hot in Topeka. It's a great cartoon.
Cool. All right, Linda Thompson Ditch, have a great week and weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, you guys have fun.
Bye, Linda.
Thank you. All righty, it is 1:25 here on The Pulse. We're just minutes away from chatting with somebody who actually hopes to get on the TV show Shark Tank. She took her first step yesterday. She is from Derry, New Hampshire, and she has a really interesting product that she hopes, should she get through the audition process, she'll know next week how she did, to get on the show and get those sharks to invest in her idea. We'll talk to Pam Riesenberg in just a couple of moments on the other side of our commercial break. This is Food for Thought. Carol and Mike. Carol is away. This is Chad over here helping me out today on 107.7 WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back, my friends. Carol Lawrence, co-host of the show, is away. I'm Mike Morin. Chad Zingales of Amherst Country Club and Ponema Green, he's director of golf operations, is my co-host today and doing a fine job.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Grasshoppers Garden Center, one of our sponsors. They are on North River Road in New Boston, New Hampshire. And Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry. You hear Rocco, the owner, every Monday on our Healthy Monday segments here on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. What about tomorrow? Glad you asked. My co-host, Chef Patrick Hall, who is the program director at the Lakes Regional Community College's culinary program. And he'll be joining me pretty much every Thursday through the rest of August, but he is here tomorrow. Our Comedy Cold Cuts topic tomorrow is bottled water. And there are plenty of comedians that are having fun with bottled water. You can just imagine. So we've got a bunch of those lined up. Kat Palmer, who is the lifestyle and food editor of the Nashua Telegraph, will be in studio. And Bill Herlicka, of White Birch Brewery, even though we did the whole beer thing last week with the Big Brewers Festival. I want to catch up with them because they were trying to raise a whole lot of money for New Horizons, and I believe they far exceeded the $11,000 they contributed last year. It was their first year, and they had way more people attend this year, so they probably had a greater donation to make to New Horizons. So I want to catch up with him. So that's a little taste of what to expect. Carol will be back again for our usual formatting on Monday. Time for me to say hello to a friend of mine. Her name is Pam Riesenberg from Derry. She is in the mortgage business, but I didn't realize that she is also in the clothing accessories business. I found out on Facebook, and I said, I got to get her on the air. She was at the auditions in Portland yesterday for Shark Tank, and Pam Riesenberg joining us right now on The Pulse. Hello, Pam.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you after your big day in Portland?
Oh, yeah, well, from waiting in line from 4:45 a.m. yesterday, it was a pretty long day after doing a closing at 8:30 last night, but I'm doing okay.
Well, thank you for taking a few moments today. You are presenting or proposing the Sharks invest in something called Mix Match Men. And how's Jason, your husband, feel about the fact that he apparently can't dress himself properly?
Pretty much, that's how I based the whole entire concept at.
Well, I assume he's a good sport about this.
Oh, he is. He definitely is. I actually went in my 60-second pitch talking about my husband and why I came up with the idea.
All right, so let's say that everything works out and you make it all the way to Shark Tank, the TV show. Will Jason be a part of, you know, will he be your prop, so to speak?
He probably will. He probably will be a prop, yes.
All right, where the heck did you get this idea? And explain the concept of Mix Match Men.
Okay, so the concept, the idea came years ago. Believe it or not, I'm not kidding around. My husband, Jason, had shown me a picture of him at a senior prom, and he was sitting in this beautiful blue Corvette, and he was taking it out of a senior ride, and he had a whole entire tux outfit on, the top hat, the cane, black jacket, pants, and black shoes. And then I said, what are you doing wearing white socks? And so then he told me that he went to a wedding with pants and Keen sandals, and then it got too hot, so he unzipped his pants and made it into shorts.
Wow.
And I said, you have got to be kidding me. Seriously. Now, I found out through networking, as you know, Mike, networking in my mortgage business for the last 15 years, I've met so many men that say, I hate shopping. I hate to go out and try to pick out an outfit, even when I have to go to a wedding or an event or an interview. And so I said, you know what? There's got to be a better way. So I came up with the concept of having basketballs, footballs, baseballs, and soccer balls as little tiny tags that would be applied to the tag inside the clothing. So when men would go shopping, they, if the pair of pants had a football, baseball, and basketball on it, they knew they could go find any shirt with a football, basketball, and baseball, and it would match. And so would the tie, so would the shoes. Everything would be an ensemble that they could go in and literally buy at lunch in 5 minutes and not need to get staff to help them that was not a stylist. And they wouldn't have to have their wife go shopping for them. And so I got a lot of feedback from it, and everybody really wanted it. So we went out to the web pages, and people were really, really looking. There was a demand. So I decided to come up with the concept and put it out there.
Pam, this is really an interesting concept, and I do have to ask. I mean, my first question, well, my first statement is, thank you for taking Jason into your life. I mean, you obviously knew he was like this before you met him. I think that's fantastic. You know, there's somebody for everybody type of thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is I think this is just a brilliant idea in the fact that you're using shapes and colors for us men to figure out how to match to. You know, you're not counting on us to be doing anything real sophisticated, which is great. And I'll say just for myself, I mean, I've always been a mannequin shopper, which is basically whatever the mannequin's wearing is what I buy, you know? And you're eliminating that, too. So thank you so much. I mean, this
is... Oh, my God.
I'm thinking Pulitzer Prize for you. This is something...
That's great.
This is a citizen type of thing. You're just making the world a better place. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. So I love the concept. It seems like if you're using sports icons for the matching symbols, that may limit you a little. I mean, what about beer steins, strippers, you know, things like that.
Yeah, right. Good question, we may Mike. Expand, Mike. I mean, our next patent, actually, that will be pending will be mixed match women. We're going to use high heels and some martini glasses, and, you know, the sky's the limit, really.
Well, that's outstanding. All right, so you had to do this in 60 seconds. Did you accomplish what you had hoped to do in 1 minute?
I did. You know, everybody was actually on their phones, and they were trying to remember these 60 seconds, and they had booths you could go in and practice, and they had a button that it would time you before you went in. And, you know, I'm a person that's always spoke from the heart. I feel like if you're passionate and you believe in what you're doing, it'll come out anyways. And, if you know, some people aren't great speakers, so I get that they need to go to a script. But, you know, I went in, and my first sentence was, not everybody dresses like Damon. Right? Because Damon on Shark Tank is the best dressed guy I know, and not everybody can dress like him. And so they were told to have stone face. Nobody could smile. Nobody could really show emotion because the five directors that were there, casting directors, were supposed to not really tell people what was going on. But when I said not everyone dressed like Damon, she did laugh and kind of smile. So, you know, there is a very, very small chance, as you know, 40,000 people apply, and only 150 go on the show.
All right, so yesterday, obviously not everybody got a chance to go in front of the casting directors, as you did, Pam, and David Bellman from Bellman's Jewelers and somebody else I read about in the paper today. So were there some people that they just said, well, we don't think you're ready? Did you see any of that going on?
Not really. Like they, there were some really great inventions there, and there were some that I thought, that's kind of already out there, you know. But everybody, I think, I'm proud of going because they at least did the experience. They at least took the courage and the bravery to go and show up in front. And there's a lot of nervous people, a lot of people that are trying to practice their pitches, but I didn't see really people being, like, turned away or anything. They actually got their shot for at least 60 seconds. But then they did say, I've seen some of you people before, and if you got denied before, you're probably getting denied again today. So I think there were people that had gone to Nashville, and then they came to Portland and, for a second chance. Yeah.
All right, so if you get picked, you're going to find out next Wednesday what the next step is to make it to the cut to 400. What happens next?
So if we make the cut to 400, we definitely will be, we're already working on it, but, you know, we're working on getting our marketing and the corporate companies that we're trying to speak with in line. We have to get our numbers in line. These patches are very inexpensive to make, but it's more about licensing. I'd like a licensing deal with one of the big companies, like, you know, a Calvin Klein or H&M or Perry Ellis. So that's what I would be looking for when I went to the TV show if I made it past the 400 to the 150.
I just don't understand. I'm sorry. I'm just I'm still stuck and kind of hung up on this that he didn't know to wear dark socks with a tux.
I mean, I know. Ridiculous.
How is this possible? This man has been living his life. I just don't. I'm sorry. Let me ask you.
He dresses much better now, though.
Thank God for you. That's why. You know. Now, if you
Mike
do
can attest to that.
If you do make it on the show and you're able to get in front of that panel, which is quite the panel, do you have a preference on who you would like to get chosen by, or do you not care either way?
You know, it's so funny you ask that because the union leader asked the same thing, and it's a good question. Obviously, Damon would be the person that I'd want to go with FUBU and the retail that he has, the connections that he has. I really do love Robert and Lori, but I really, you know, I like all of them, but I think Damon would probably be the person that may be as in the most interested.
So you wouldn't want to be with Mr. Wonderful, huh?
Maybe if I was making wine, but no.
or cigars. He's a big cigar
aficionado.
Right. Well, all right. We need to stay in touch and give you as much support as we can, and perhaps we'll have another reason to talk after you find out next week that you have moved on to the next step toward your dream of a Shark Tank appearance on TV. We wish you very much the best on that.
And your husband, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for having me today. And I'll definitely keep in touch and let you know how it goes.
And I met Pam just maybe 2 years ago at the most. And the first time I ever met Pam, she brought with her to a little party I was attending the best key lime pie I ever had. And
really?
I remembered her as my key lime pie friend.
Was it a graham cracker crust, Mike? What was the crust?
Yes, it was.
It sure was. Oh. And it was made at a bakery that went out of business, so I'm not sure what that
means. Which was too bad.
It was, because I'd go there about every week.
I know. I'm so concerned that Jason doesn't understand what he has. You know?
Oh, God, that's so funny. I'll have to let him know. And
please,
you know,
do.
It's funny because basically I was thinking of the same thing, Mike. The first time I met Mike, he made the most unbelievable food, and that's, I think of him as my foodie guy.
Oh, you're very sweet.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pam. Pam Riesenberg of Reliant Mortgage Company, hoping to make Mix Match Men a part of everyday dressing your unable to dress or clothing-challenged husband or partner. Pam, we'll stay in touch, and good luck to you. I hope everything goes well.
Thank you so much, and look for me at Finance of America, changing over and merging on Monday, okay, Mike?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, we're merging, so it'll be great.
Wow.
But we'll still be here in Salem on Main
Street. Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Pam, take care.
You too.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It is 1:43, another quick break, and we have a couple minutes to talk about. We've been talking a lot about grilling on this show, as we should. This is peak grilling time, and if you have a grill like I do that is just nasty, disgusting, and grease-laden, there is somebody who has a business that will come to your house and completely make it brand new. I'll introduce you to that person coming up next. It's the Pulse 107.7 WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Into the waning moments of Food for Thought, Mike Morin, Carol Lawrence is away today. Chad Zingale is filling in as co-host. He'll rejoin me a week from Friday. That's August 7th for some more fun. On Friday, our cold cuts selections and other things going on every Friday. Quick reminder, coming up Saturday, Bryce Strong Family Day and Benefit. It's Wildlife Encounters as part of the show. Essentially, it's a fundraiser for a family and a young 10-year-old boy, Bryce Haynes of Concord, who has Hodgkin's lymphoma, diagnosed sometime in April, treated locally at Concord, and eventually moved to Chad in Dartmouth, at the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth, to take care of things that perhaps couldn't be taken care of at Concord Hospital. So whatever, he's there, and clearly the bills are mounting up, and the family would appreciate the emotional and financial support. It's going to be a fun family day with animals, Wildlife Encounters there, and just tons and tons of great things. 11 to 4, Eagle Square Park, 1 Eagle Square in Concord. The event is free. However, if you have a donation to make, that would really make everybody's day. Again, Bryce Strong Family Fun Day and Benefit, this coming Saturday from 11 to 4 in downtown Concord. We're just 5 or 6 minutes away from the end of the show and moving up toward Kale and Company. He starts following the 2 o'clock news. Chad Zingales is here. He is Director of Operations, Golf Operations at the Amherst Country Club and Ponema Green, which is in Amherst. And Chad has, in addition to doing a little stand-up comedy, you have started a business that I think is perfect for our show simply because I'm a huge griller, and we've been talking to a lot of grilling experts. We had the Weber Grillmaster on a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And we've just done a lot of other talking because folks are out barbecuing, grilling this time of year. I grill all year round. I know not everybody does. I don't care how much snow. I still like to get out there and grill. But I tell you what, the least favorite thing of that is a couple times a year I'll get in and I'll scrub it out. And, you know, it takes me a week to get all the junk off me from all the scrubbing. I've never heard of a business until you told me that you are doing this. And what's the name of the business?
My business name is Just Like New BBQ. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually officially the official grill cleaner of New Hampshire. So I clean barbecue grills.
Now, did you get that? Did you get that declared by the state senate or the House of Representatives?
I'm working on it right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the process.
Here's what you need. You need fourth graders to go in on your behalf.
Yes.
And then they'll be insulted.
Yes. And, you know, I'm hoping that Pam's line of clothing is out so that I can look nice when I go.
Yeah. You wear like a Chimney Swifts type of what do you wear when you go to clean these nasty grease laden grills?
You know, I wear an apron.
Oh, lovely.
I have clothes underneath it, but I have an apron on.
Thank you.
No, I drive my truck. I pull a trailer behind my truck, and the trailer has a dip tank in it where I can soak the flavorizer bars and the grill grates drive it to your house, and I soak those. I heat up the water, soak them in there for about an hour. And while they're soaking, I degrease and scrub and scrape the inside of the grill, vacuum it all out, put it back together. And
sure.
Away we go.
And the cost, typically, if it's your standard run-of-the-mill Weber Genesis grill?
Yeah, $125.
Okay.
It's usually about an hour and a half, two-hour process.
All right.
And the grill comes out much cleaner. It's much safer to use.
That's a very good point, because you know when you're cooking something that's got a lot of fat, and then the next time you cook, as soon as you put your food on, all the flames come up.
That's right.
And completely ruins your chicken or whatever it is that
right.
you're making.
Yep. And I'll be the first to admit that my grill is probably the dirtiest grill in the neighborhood.
It's funny. I've known carpenters and car mechanics, and they always have, you know, the most unfinished houses or worst running cars.
That's right.
And so why should you be any different?
That's right. I'm the worst golfer in this room. I don't play at all, and I have the dirtiest grill. So
that's funny. All right. So you actually, we talked about this a few months ago. You actually, well, tell me the story of going to the wrong house.
Yeah, this was not something I was real proud of. But I had two grills scheduled in one day, went to one grill in Bedford, New Hampshire, and was on my way back to my house, and GPSed the next grill, got to that house, and, you know, parked in the driveway. Nobody was home, which is typical. I can typically, you know, I don't need to get into the house. Mm-hmm. I just need to have access to the grill and right. an outlet. And I went out back onto their deck and, you know, cleaned up the grill and took about 2 hours. It was a pretty big grill. Got all my stuff, you know, packed it all up, got in my truck, started to drive away. And I gave the customer a courtesy call, and you know, he happened to answer. And I said, hey, Andy, you know, I just wanted to let you know your grill's all set. You were out of propane, so I couldn't test it, but, you know, it's nice and clean. And he replied by saying, well, I've been standing in my living room for the last 2 hours, and I have not seen you. anywhere. And I said, I think I was at your neighbor's house then. And they come to find out I was. And what was great about the story was he contacted the neighbor to let them know what was going on, because on their deck, I had noticed that they had a surveillance camera.
Oh,
so
man.
They have, you know, 2 hours of footage of some idiot on their deck cleaning their grill, which I'm hoping they're using at this point. I mean, you should be showing that at Thanksgiving and Christmas to people. You know, look at this dope. So, needless to say, I was 3 hours late getting home because I had to go back and clean Andy's grill. But
so you did three grills that day.
I did three grills
one
that day.
One of which you didn't get paid for.
Right, for the price of two.
Yeah.
And I did call the gentleman that kind of got me into this business, and I asked him, I said, you know, have you ever cleaned the wrong grill? And he asked me, he said, like, the customer has two grills and you cleaned the wrong one? And I said, no, like, you went to the wrong house. And he said, no, in the 18 years I've been doing this, I have never had that happen. So I'm proud to hold that title, too. yeah.
So is this, I mean, it seems like a great idea for a business. I'm thinking if I was going to sink some money into a business, I might, you know, put some money into that.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many are you doing? I mean, is it because you're very, I mean, you got a full time job. You got kids.
Yep.
So, I mean, you don't need it, this is not an 8 hour a day gig for you.
It's not. No, I typically do about three grills a week, you know, and you know, I spend some time in the car traveling. I the furthest I've gone is Rye Beach, which is great. I mean, you know, what's fun about it is meeting people is obviously awesome, but also being in their backyards, on their decks, seeing how they landscape, and just, you know, I'm outside the whole day, and I'm able to, you know, just kind of, I'm cleaning a grill, which is fine by me, and it's just nice to meet people and see how they decorate the outside of their houses,
sure.
by their pools, whatever. And, you know, going up the Rye Beach is certainly, I'll never complain. I'm right on the ocean and cleaning outdoor kitchens right on the golf course. I mean, it's just fun.
Was it, it wasn't Dan Brown's home, was it?
I was very close to Dan Brown's home.
Yeah,
actually.
Were you?
Yes.
Yes. Did you see the trunk from Knox with a load of gold bars that gets dumped into his basement every week?
I did not, unfortunately. You know, he didn't ask me to clean his chest of gold, no. But I was right on Ocean Boulevard, right on the actual beach.
Is that
which
right?
Was awesome. Awesome. Yeah,
that's very cool. If somebody wanted to be in touch, I know you have a Facebook page and would like to talk to you about cleaning their grills, which is a good safety measure. And aesthetically, the food's going to taste better.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. It does taste a lot better. And the grill, it extends the longevity, the life of the grill. you know, if the grill is starting to show signs of any rust or wear and tear, this does help, you know, will help. And then the food tastes better. The gas will run cleaner. You know, you'll have all your grill grates will be nice and clean. And you avoid the chance of a fire, which is great.
Very true. So how do they reach you?
On the web, it's www.justlikenewbbq.com. And I am also on Facebook, Just Like New BBQ. And you can just Google the grill cleaner of New Hampshire as well.
And you would drive as far as what?
I will go as far as the dirty grill world will take me.
Well, there you go, folks.
Yeah.
Hope you're listening in Topeka, Linda.
Yeah, it's fun. I'll come to you no matter what.
Fun time with you today, Chad Zingales, and you'll be back a week from Friday for another co-hosting stint.
Can't wait. Mike, right. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Great job. Carol is away. She'll be back on Monday. Tomorrow, we're in with Comedy Cold Cuts. Bottled Water is the topic. Kat Palmer from The Telegraph. And a follow-up on last week's big beer event to see how much money was donated to the New Horizons Soup Kitchen. All right, Mike Moran, thanks for listening. See you tomorrow at noon. Ken Kale and company next on The Pulse, 107.7 WTPL. Have a great day.
Smithers from Gallery.